In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed Lord's Day to all of you. It's getting cold now. We enter into this autumn time, which seems to jump to winter very quickly around here, at least. We see the leaves are changing, if not changed, the snow is coming. And as I said before, and as the Holy Fathers and the saints always remind us, God uses everything in relationships, in this physical world and nature to remind us of the spiritual life, of this body which is going to pass away. And so all the seasons right now here are telling us that there's a dying taking place. The leaves, which were so spectacular and green, now they became really spectacular in the mountains. You see the yellow for a while and the reds. That's the interesting thing, is the explosion of their beauty is so soft, it's so quick, and then what comes? Their death. So the last kind of explosion of beauty before there's a death and a quietness and a barrenness that seems to take place in the trees. And the fathers say this every season to remind us of different parts of our own life. So what is autumn? It's getting ready for our death. And no one wants to think about that. Everyone thinks it's so morbid and it's depressing, and no one does this. I was talking to a priest's wife. She's a doctor, and she, maybe half her patients now, she's working with people that are getting ready to pass away. And she said, "Father, it's shocking. People don't think about death. Our culture used to require it. I mean, if somebody in your family died in the old days, and someone close to you, and if you had many children, one of them would die, and it was never a fun part, but a normative. Now it's become very abnormal. We want to live to be 150, and we put people away in these funeral homes so they look like they're alive when they're dead. I mean, it's denial. And she said, it's amazing. She said, some people, it's, I'm not going to die. Or anger, I'm not going to die. Who are you? I'm not going to die. When it's so obvious, when you think about it, the majority of people who have ever lived have already passed that threshold, brothers and sisters. You might think, oh, I'm so afraid to die. Someone dies, and it's like, oh, that's the weirdo leaving us, unlike the normal ones like us. That is so not true. It's ridiculous. And yet we live in that fantasy world. The vast majority of the human beings that ever lived have passed on the threshold from this life to the next. And the fact that we still remember them and love them is a sign and a proof of the kingdom of heaven and of eternity. One great saint says that, and priest says that when someone dies close to you, they take a telephone wire with them, and it puts a string to your heart to keep you less attached here. And the fact that you love them and pray for them is a sign and a calling to inch you closer. And when you meet people that are old and they love God, they don't want to hang out here because everyone they know and love has passed this threshold. And a Christian is not afraid to pass that threshold. So all of creation, Raven right now around us, is telling us to be aware of this. And not just for old people with cancer, by the way. All of us. Why? That's weird, Father Justin. It's not weird, actually. There's this cliche thing that he who is ready to die can truly live. And that is absolutely true in my experience as a priest. We live in fear of everything. We're afraid of being exposed as who we really are. We're afraid of our coworkers realizing how lazy we actually are. We're afraid if we're parents, we're afraid of our kids actually knowing who we are. Or we're afraid of our priest actually knowing who we are. We kind of put this face on. We kind of fake it. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of our own shadow. We're afraid of something happening to our kids. We're afraid of getting sick. Fear, anxiety, it rules this world. And death is the big one. Because you can't control it. We're all control freaks. We want to control things. And one of the beauties of the spiritual life as an Orthodox Christian should be a beauty, is that you are relinquishing that anxiety to Christ, who holds us firmly in His hands. The morning prayers, I said with my kids on the way here, driving together, right? All things fulfill Your holy will. Help me to endure all things, knowing that all things are sent by You. That's not depressing at all. In fact, when a person realizes that we're going to die, but you know what? We believe in the God-man. We believe in Christ who died, and our hope is in the depths of that tomb. That tomb where God, the devil thought he had him, and Christ dies, and he goes into hell, and He resurrects, and He raises up all those who have died. That is the hope of every Christian. That death has no more hold on us, and we should live different ways. Let's be honest. We're a mess. The world is a mess. Now, the world's a mess, but we're a mess too, and that's unacceptable. Why is the world a mess? Look around you, right? Everyone is just chasing after worldly stuff. The purpose of life is to have fun. Purpose of life, by the way, you know, fun isn't a word in a lot of ancient languages. Joy is a word. But fun is kind of a new word. Because fun is cheap and it has no substance to it. Christians shouldn't be having fun. Christians should be full of joy. Fun can't happen when you're struggling. Fun can't happen in cancer. Joy can happen everywhere because it's not of this world. All the world's joys, almost all of them, are fake and false and fun and fleeting and shallow. And more than ever, that's what's important. Look at the billboards. Look outside. Look around you. Look at everything. It makes sense to me. Why is the world miserable? Because their hearts are far from God and they're numbing themselves. And their focus is on other things. Why are we a mess? Why are we in the church a mess? That's a scandal. Because we have all the healing. And why? And the Lord actually, I love this gospel reading of St. Luke because it tells us exactly what the problem is and what our goal is. I make no false illusions. We are often just like people in the world. And that's not okay. We should be different. Someone who is really sick and has medicine should be different than a person who's really sick and does not have medicine. So it's unacceptable and intolerable to say that we are unchanged in the same way that this passing away world is. Why is that? Because we don't believe enough and because we don't take the medicine and because we're wandering around in a distracted fog most of the time, all of us. And every time we come to church, it should be a reboot to say, what am I doing? Father Paul and I were talking this week, and one elder he read said, the spiritual life is this. Take the thing you're the most afraid of and go right in the middle of it and cry out to God from that place. That's not comfortable Christianity. That's not easy, go through the motions. That's precisely the problem, don't you see? A lot of people go through the motions. You say, I'm Orthodox, come on, I should be better than everybody else. You could be healed. You could be healed and share that healing with everyone in this fallen world around you. But it's not automatic. And that's the problem. We're lazy, we're slothful, and we don't want to work for the kingdom of God. And the fathers say it makes no sense. You know, we read in St. Gregory of Sinai, I think this week, Father Paul and I together, and he says, what does God prefer? A person who busts their tail to pray, to fast, and to humble themselves, but they're a little proud about it? Or a person who does nothing but is humble? Which do you think? The average person thinks, oh, the humble person. Wrong. That's actually not true. St. Gregory says, no, because the person who is striving at least knows it's worth striving for, and God will see that effort, and He'll take care of that pride. He'll humble him. But the man who does nothing, and just, well, at least I'm humble about it, he doesn't even care to take a step towards God. I think many of us try to take this false path. Well, I don't think I'm anything really. Well, you know, Father Justin, I'm just a normal gal, a normal guy. That's precisely the problem. Christ didn't die on the cross so that you could just live in a fog and just be unchanged. How is that honoring God? How are we any different than pagans? Right? No different. And that's sad. But I understand it because I struggle with the same thing. How do we do this? It has to do with the heart. The heart. We forget our purpose all the time. Your purpose is not to run your business. It's secondary. Your purpose is not to be a doctor. It's not your business. Your purpose is not even to be a priest. It's secondary for me. Your purpose isn't to be a kid or to be a janitor or to be a teacher. Your purpose is in this short life to love Christ, to love eternity, to put strings all over eternity, and to say, maybe I have 5,000 days left in my life. Every day I am going to spend that day trying to love Christ as much as I can, to love the kingdom of heaven, to love everyone I meet, and to get rid of this junk. How? The Lord tells us the parable of the sower. Now you know what a sower is. People often think, kids think like a sower is like someone with a needle. No, this isn't what that means. Although it's similar, right? You pick a needle into the thread, so the seeds fall into the dirt. So in the old days, there was no machine, so a person would take a big sack over their arms in the field, and they would walk, casting the seeds. Just like this, very casual. And they would cast the seeds into the ground with the hopes that what would happen? That it would grow. And that's the goal. Growth of the fruit. The Lord is saying, fruit is peace. Fruit is what we're after. That would be joy, happiness, no anxiety, that we love God. That's the goal, fruit. How do we get from this first point? What does he say? Some seed falls on the concrete, right? Like a lot of people in the world. They start to believe, or let's say he doesn't even have a heart. People hear the word of God, I don't want to go to church, forget it. I don't want to be a good person. Their hearts are so hard. Who takes it from them? The devil. That's what the scriptures say, right? It says that it says it falls on them on the path. They heard it, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. We are attacked. If you are casual about your faith, or just becomes inconvenient, the devil will come and snatch your faith. And atheism and worldliness and everything else will become more important. It happens to many, many people. But let's say it falls on a little better soil, and it starts to grow a little bit, which is many of us. What happens? It chokes. It chokes and dies. What choked it? This world. The cares of this world. This world is not our friend. Now, by the world, I don't mean the created cosmos that God made and made it good. I mean the world, that, as the Lord says, the world. And all of its nonsense, it is not our friend. And we try to do both. Be really successful in a worldly way and have all the happiness of pagans and non-believers, but also not live for the world. You can't love something that's dying and then say, I love eternity. What does it do? You do both terribly, poorly, and it rips your heart apart. The Lord says, you are not of this world. It's a very different way of living, and all of us are trying to do both or play church. Let's get real. And that's why we're suffering. It's the cares of this world are choking us because they're more important than God. What's the goal, though? What's normalcy look like? It's so beautiful the way the Lord says it. By the way, in the Gospel of Luke, St. Luke uses the word the heart twice as much as any other gospel writer. It's all about the heart. And by the heart, I don't mean the emotions, and I mean more than just the blood-pumping organ. I mean, that's the center of a human being. St. Luke, in his gospel in the book of Acts, uses it, I think, 2.5 times more than the other gospel writers. The heart. We have many duties as Christians, brothers and sisters. The main focus is to cultivate this heart and to have fruit grow there. Before you can even start growing fruit, what do you have to do? You have to clean the fields. If you know farmers, I've never been a farmer, but if you know it, I grew up around potato fields where I grew up in New York on Long Island. The first thing they do is they go and they plow it. It's not always, it's painful. It's kind of bringing stuff up. They have to get rid of the trash. There's trash from people that go there, old beer cans, water bottles, huge rocks that are bad. They have to get rid of all that until that soil and get cleaned it up. Otherwise, the seed, if it falls, it won't grow anything. It won't grow anything. So the first step is to till our hearts. That's what Father Paul and I always tell you, go to confession regularly. Right? Why? Because it's a God-given tilling. The Lord says, your heart is important. Because what do we want to have? In the good soil are those who hear the word, they hold it fast in a good and honest heart. A good and honest heart. That's what God wants from us. A good and honest heart. And it bears fruit with patience. First step, plow that heart. First step, realize that you have a field in the first place. Most of us, one elder said to me, it's like we're wandering in a fog. Kind of just going from one thing, feeling our way blind in this life. And, oh, that's neat. Let me play with that for a while. That's boring. Let me go on to the next thing. Boom. Forgetting that we have a destination. Forgetting that we have a purpose. And just mindfully walking in the fog from one stumbling feel out to the next. Until we die. And the Lord is a light that comes into that fog and disperses that and says, here's the way to go. Here's the path to go. It's the narrow path that leads to life. And the job of us priests is to nudge you that way, is to help you that way, is to tell you, first of all, there is a path. And you have a purpose to your life, and it's not to be good looking or to lose pounds or to be a good dad or all those things. Those are all secondary, and those are good things, by the way. There's some beautiful things in this world. Wine makes glad the heart of man, the marriage of a man and a woman, the birth of our children. We had two new births in our parish this past. Beautiful. But those things are given by God. Do you see? Those things are gifts given by God. But our world chases those things as the only real happiness, and they become idols. How many of us, honestly, brothers and sisters, wake up and say, my singular goal today is to love God and to be with Christ. Christ, I want to be with you every moment today. I want to love every person you put in front of me, and I don't want to waste this day. I'm going to pick one of my sins, and I'm going to stop talking bad about people. And I'm going to go downstairs and greet my wife and serve her, or my husband and my children and my coworkers, and I am going to love them all the more than myself. I'm going to stand before God in my prayer corner, and He is my life. And I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to do my evening prayers. And I might go to the ball game. I might do other normal things. But you spend every day saying, how can I love God more? How can I repent more? How can I clean my field? What beer cans can I pull out? What trash and rocks can I pull out today? And what good fertilizer can I put in with the lives of the saints? Very few of us do this. And then we wonder why is my heart rocky? I know why the world is, because they don't even know there's a field, and they don't even try to till it, and they're wandering in the fog. Unacceptable for us, because the light is in you. Christ says He's the light of the world, then He says, you're the light of the world. After your baptism, this is in you, and you will not be a fulfilled, happy person until this becomes the focus of your life. You till the soil with confession, with prayer, with fasting. None of us are good at it. That's the point. No people in this parish or priests are good at it. That's precisely why we do it. If we were good at it, we wouldn't really have to do it. If it's not hard, it's worth nothing. You know in school, if you don't study, you fail. You know at work, if you don't work hard, you're fired. You know if you don't pay your rent, you're out. Why is it with God the most important thing we don't put any effort in? Why? You don't believe it. And there's no consequence. If you don't do your job, you're fired on the street. If you don't eat, you starve. So you go, I'm going to eat. There's always a consequence and a reward, a carrot. We don't pray enough. And we don't fast because you don't think it's going to make a difference. I know it. You know why? I spent a few years as an Orthodox Christian in the same way. I went through the motions and said, come on, I'm Orthodox now. Shouldn't I be different? I'm not different than anybody else. I do my prayers. I did my prayers like a robot. I kind of keep the fasting days like a legalist. I didn't actually fast and pull out the rocks. I pulled out the things that were easy to pull out. I didn't pull out rocks. I didn't really strive. I was mostly still focused on being a vain college student and being worldly and everything else. Christ was not my focus. And as a result, I was not taking the medicine, even though I thought I was. I think that's the boat of most of us. Father Paul and I know more than all of you the power of the spiritual life. We're so blessed to be around all of you, hear your confessions, and we still struggle sometimes. But we want it. I want the kingdom of God at every moment. I have to remind myself too, and I'm a priest for God's sake. I know it's hard in this world. You have work, you have school, you have all these things. Everything is trying to distract you. But if you don't do the work, nothing will happen. Nothing. You'll get more depressed. You'll get more sad. You'll get more, and you won't be changed. It's a miserable way to live. And at that point, people say, Father, I don't go to church. It's just like, yeah, if church is like that, just like drudgery, and just like, that's not what Christ came to give. Christ didn't come to give rules and make you slug through it and make it miserable. Far from that. He came to give us life, and life abundantly. You know, sometimes people leave this parish because they want to go to another parish. And people tell me this, Father, I'll go to another parish because the homilies make me feel good about myself. You know, you just talk about sin and repentance and stuff. Sorry. Jesus says, repent. And the Baptist says, repent. And you know what? I would sell you short to do anything different. I make no apologies for the way Father Paul and I operate, because this is orthodoxy. What kind of doctor would say, someone has cancer, says, you're fine. Actually, you're fine. You look great. Your skin is really good. And the person's racked with cancer. Well, I don't want them to be upset. That's not love. That's not love at all. It's fear. True love is to say, you have cancer and you're dying. But Christ is right here. The great physician is right here. It's going to be a little painful. There's going to be some tilling. There's going to be some surgery. End result will be healing, and you'll feel, you'll be totally transformed. That's why this parish is special. Not because of me and Father Paul, because this is the world of the saints. There's no other kind of orthodoxy but suffering orthodoxy or comfortable Christianity. Let's be honest, we often take the other road. We try to do both and kind of have it easy and kind of do our cross and do our thing. I wonder why I'm not changed. My spiritual father always says, "How's it going, Father?" I said, "It's going okay. Are you making progress in the spiritual life? Making progress in the spiritual life. Have you done this thing totally?" "Well, not totally." "Huh. Have you done this?" "Well, I've tried." People often say that. "Well, I've tried. I tried." Right? It doesn't matter if you say you're a teacher. "I try, I try." Yeah, you still got an F. Right? Because you don't really try. And I know for myself, when I put in even the least amount of effort to pray, Christ is right there. And I lament the times that I'm absent-minded. And when I fast a little bit with my heart, I realize, gosh, it changes you. Gosh, reading the gospel changes you. We can be totally different people. We can have that good and honest heart and have fruit. And as I told some people in confession recently, you don't believe me because you haven't experienced it. It's like we're all eating dog food all the time. And you think it's great food. And there's different flavors of dog food, like there is. And someone comes along and says, "There's this thing called filet mignon." And you go, "I don't want that junk. I don't need that." Because you've never tasted it. And it's the most beautiful thing you've ever tasted. "No, I don't need that." Why? Because you don't know what it tastes like. And in our pride and our ego, if I don't know what it tastes like, no one must. And many people think that. People often go, "Why does Father Justin like going to church every day?" Not because I'm pious. That's not why. Because if you just take a risk and take a bite of the filet mignon, you go, "It's different, it's weird, it's a weird texture." And you go, "Oh man, I've been eating dog food my whole life and justifying it." That's what the spiritual life, this fog we're in, it's dog food. It looks great. It looks great, worldly, making moves, being good looking, this and that. It's when you taste prayer, not robotic prayer, but when you taste prayer, when you spend time with Christ and you sit with Him, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." You read the gospel and see His love. You push the world and your phone and everything out. The kingdom of heaven doesn't just open up, it tears open. And a whole new world you never experienced opens up. Most of you don't believe that because you haven't tasted it. I've been blessed to taste it a few times, even in my idiocy. I should taste it a lot more as a priest, but I would not be a priest. I'd be a doctor or something else if that didn't exist. And that's the divine, heavenly bread I want you to taste. It is open to all of you. It doesn't matter if you're a young or old or a priest or a janitor. Every Christian can have that. When you have that, you've tasted eternal life. And it's worth it. How do each of us get there? Work your tail off. It is worth more than anything. Father Paul and I are going to bust our tails for you. I want to do everything I can for you. But we can't do it for you. Right? What does it say in the Lord of the Rings? Right? "I can't carry the ring, but I can carry you." Right? We want to carry as many as we can of you. But you have your will. And I end with a quote of St. Theophon, one of the great saints of the church. And he says this, and put this in your heart. He says, "Nothing comes without effort." Nothing. "The help of God is always ready and always near. But it is given only to those who seek and work." It is waiting. It's fruit. All you have to do is reach up and pluck it. But waiting for God to give it to us in our laziness. It is there only to those who seek and work, and only to those seekers who, after putting all their powers to the test, cry out with their whole heart, "Lord, help us." If you're a doctor, great. That's not your purpose. If you're a priest, great. It's not your purpose. Don't forget your purpose. Every day to walk with Christ. Every day to love other people way more than yourself. Every day to pull out one more sin and to add one more virtue and to till that heart. And if you do it, if we work for the kingdom of heaven, I promise you the love of Christ will fill you in. And heaven will open up to you in a way. And you'll go, "Now I know if people go to church all the time. Now I know people actually like praying and like reading the gospel. And now I'm not afraid of death anymore." And people in this world will see that. People at work and at school will see that. And that's how the church has grown. Not by good pamphlets, not by good websites, by changed people who fall in love with Christ. May our Lord Jesus Christ, may the seed not fall on concrete of our hearts. May it fall on good soil, in a good and honest heart. And may we all struggle with all of our might together to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.